Our sermon title is, Where Are You? Last week, we celebrated Christmas, Jesus' birthday, and the time when the shepherds came to the stable to worship him. This week, we're celebrating Epiphany, when the wise men are supposed to have shown up. But our gospel lesson has nothing to do with either a story of Jesus's birth. It's about much later when Jesus is a young man beginning his ministry and calling his first disciples. So what do these three stories have in common? That's what we're going to look at today. And the question I'm going to ask you is, where are you in the stories? So let's begin. All three stories deal with the visitors coming to see Jesus. The reasons are different. They're there to worship him, to give him gifts, to follow him, find out a bit more about him. We don't know. So let's unpack those stories a bit. We'll begin with the shepherds. This story is found in the Gospel of Luke. The shepherds are in the fields at night, watching their flocks. They're just doing their job. And suddenly there's angels who are appearing, and they're singing, and they're telling him about his birth in a stable in Bethlehem. So the shepherds go. It's an easy story to understand. And frankly, if I'd been there, I would have done the same thing. I mean, who wouldn't? You're doing your job and suddenly you've got this vision and someone's telling you there's something exciting happening. Go, okay, well, let's go check it out. And they do. And they find the babe. And they worship him. It's like, obviously, this is a special baby if the angels are telling us all about him. We don't know what happens next. They found a baby. They worshiped him. Were they even interested in the Messiah? Did they want to follow him? We're never told. And we have no idea whether any of them kept an eye open for, you know, what happens when this Messiah grows up? Would we follow him? We don't know. They disappear from history. What about the wise men? Well, we have a lot of images that we know are false. We're never told how many there were. We just know that they gave three gifts. We know that the popular idea of them showing up at the stable is crazy. Their story appears in the Gospel of Matthew, and they showed up at the house, which makes sense because they're in the east, they see a star, they're traveling, it's going to take time. They end up going to Jerusalem first and then over to Bethlehem. So settled, you know, quite a while it's taken. And they've studied the sky, because they're astronomers and astrologers. The dividing line is very vague back then. And so they've looked and they say there's a king being born in Judea, and they go to where a king should be. And then they end up in Bethlehem where they find poor people, and they give their presents and leave. So do we know what happens afterwards? No, we don't. We don't know whether any of them came around or came back years later to see if they could find this babe and what had happened to him. We don't know if they became the first Christians in their own country. It's just they were there, and that's all we know. And then we have the disciples. Okay, so we know a bit more here. Two of them were following John the Baptist. So they were interested in a Messiah. They were interested in looking, in doing something. They wanted to do, somehow draw closer to God. They wanted God to come, whatever it was. And John the Baptist says, not me, it's that guy over there. So they go and follow Jesus. Do they know anything about this Jesus? No. They call him master, rabbi, teacher, sign of respect. And where are you going? Where are you staying? You know, we'll decide. And so they spend the day with Jesus. and something happens to them. And the next thing we hear is Andrew's running to drag his brother, you know, Simon, and say, come on, we found him, we found him. And Jesus sees Simon and says, you're Peter, Simon, son of John. I'm going to rename you, Kephas. Somewhere along the line, Jesus sees Philip and calls him, and Philip just comes. It's like, no hesitation. At least we're not told of any. He just comes. And the next thing we hear is Philip's running off to Nathanael and saying, we found him, we found him. Nathanael's going, I don't think so. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Okay, I'll go with you. Check it out for myself. And Jesus says, well, you're, you know, a truly honest Israelite. Well, it's sort of a polite way of saying, you say what you think. Ken Nathaniel's going, what? How do you know? Well, because I saw you under the fig tree before Philip showed up. What? You must be God. Okay, that was enough. So the three stories show us different reasons why people come to Jesus. A vision, the angels, they want to check it out. They're studying scripture, or they're studying the skies, and they're coming up with answers, and they want to act on those answers. They hear from others, Jesus is worth checking out. And then when they encounter Jesus, something happens. What was it about Jesus that drew people to him? That's a question we don't ask enough. Now, granted, we can probably dismiss the shepherds and the magi. They're interacting with a baby. And while a baby is cute, it's not someone that's going to make me want to leave my family or friends and make me want to hang around and hang on to whatever the baby does or says, unless it's my child. So, you know, we really don't know, and it doesn't really matter about the shepherds and the wise men. But the first disciples, they're dealing with Jesus, they're interacting with him, and they're choosing to stay. What was so special about Jesus? Now, if you ask a lot of Christians, they'll tell you, Jesus died for my sins, or he saves me. And those statements are true. But really, those statements are answers that came after the resurrection and after the church had wrestled with the question. We're talking about the first disciples, the ones who knew nothing about Jesus, and yet something about him caught their attention, made them want to stay. What was it? What was so special about Jesus? Well, one thing, he talked about God in ways that they could understand. He could teach truths about God in ways they could understand, because he was drawing examples from everyday life. I mean, we can use the Bible and we can quote the prophets and do this, and then you have to have someone explain the prophets to you or explain what's being said. Jesus didn't do that. He said, okay, you're a shepherd. Have you ever lost a sheep? What happens when you've lost a sheep? Well, let me tell you a story. There was a shepherd once, and he had 100 sheep, and one got lost. And he went hunting for that one. He couldn't stop until he found that one who was lost. Talks to a woman. Have you ever lost anything? What happens when you lose something? And last night, yeah, I dropped something and it spilled, and I'm spent over an hour trying to find everything that I'd lost because it spilled all over the floor. And I'm on my hands and knees and crawling around. And she says, yeah, okay, so you've got 100 pieces of coins or 10 pieces of coins and you lose one. You're going to be looking everywhere until you find it. And then what happens when you find it? You're happy. That's God. That's God in you. You think you're not good enough. You think you've done things to disappoint God or drive God away from you. But you know what? He's still looking for you. He's looking for you the way you look for that lost sheep or you look for that lost coin. And the people are going, wow, I get it. I get it now. I understand God. Tell me more. Tell me more about God. Tell me more in ways I can understand. That's one thing that drew people to Jesus. He spoke in ways they could understand. Another thing is about Jesus, is he treated everyone essentially the same. It didn't matter if you were rich or poor or male or female, educated priest or Pharisee, or an ordinary farmer or fisherman. You deserve the same respect. And you got it from Jesus. He had a question, he'd answer. You needed help, he'd help. Jesus was willing to reach out to people who've been excluded by the society. In rabbinic Judaism, so around the time of Jesus, maybe a bit later, there was a saying that whoever talked to women in public neglected study of the law and would inherit Gehenna. Their way of saying, you'd go to hell. Talk to a woman in public and you're going to go to hell. But read the Gospels. Look at how often Jesus is talking to women in public. Look at how he's talking to children. He's talking to lepers. You know, you're not supposed to touch them. And yet he's touching them. He's talking to foreigners. Now, granted, there's a difference. And he tells the woman, you know, I came to deal with the Jews. And she, what does she say? Yeah, but you know, there's crumbs that fall onto the table, onto the floor. And the dogs can get the crumbs. All I want are the crumbs. And he's like, what? And so he gives her, he reveals himself to her. The Roman centurion says, I need you to heal someone, but don't come into my home. You know, just, I understand you're someone really powerful. Just say the words, my servant will be healed. And he's like, I haven't found faith like this in Israel. Go, servant's healed. It didn't matter if they were Jewish or not Jewish. In the end, he judged people by a different criteria. Were they open to hearing him? Were they open to encountering God? He also saw through people. He saw through the Pharisees, Sadducees trying to trick him with different arguments, and he sort of tricked them back. And you can imagine that the people around him are listening and snickering, you know, because they know this guy is a hypocrite. And Jesus knows it and is paying him back. And there's some dramatic irony there, and you can be sure everyone's enjoying it. For myself, yeah, Jesus could lose his temper. He did that when he cleared the temple. But I can't think of a single incident where Jesus showed himself to be vindictive or cruel. I find him challenging me to be the best I can be, not the best in terms of accomplishments, becoming rich, working, getting the best grades or whatever. I mean, that's part of my nature. I'm competitive that way, but that's not what I find Jesus challenging me to be. I find him challenging me to be the best person I can be, the most compassionate, treating others with respect, being open to other people, including those that I would rather judge. I find him making me want to be there for other people when they need me. I fail. I'm not God. And that upsets me because I want to do better. Because Jesus has given me that vision of a world filled with compassion and with people caring. He's offered me, or he's shown me, a way of living, and I want more of it. Yeah, we have the phrases, salvation, dying for our sins, and those things are true. I'm not saying they're not. But for me, anyway, it's like they're answering something in the future. Dying for my sins. Thank you, I'm grateful, but where do I get the payoff on that? It's going to be at the last judgment. What do I get from Jesus now? I see Jesus offering so much in the present. He's offering God's kingdom in the present. He's offering the chance to experience God's kingdom in the present. And dying for my sins or being saved for heaven, that's great. But what I really like is what Jesus is giving me now. For you, it might be different. You may be very happy with what you've gotten now, and you are thinking more in the future. But for me, it's that vision of God's kingdom at hand in my life, and I want it. I love Nathaniel. Okay. What good can come out of Nazareth? You can just that bluntness, that directness. And Jesus answers. Oh my gosh. It's like, you know, how often do we have questions? Do we want to challenge God, ask God, and we don't because we're afraid it's going to show our lack of faith, our lack of commitment, our weaknesses. And yet, here in the story of Nathaniel, it's like, can anything good come out of? And then he hears and he's changed. And it's like suddenly we get permission to question God, to challenge God. So that's some of the stories that's running around. And what does it mean for us? So we have to look at, where are we in the story? Why have we come to Jesus? Was it simply because we've had some kind of vision? Was it some kind of encounter with God? Was it through study scripture or something else? Was it we've been told by others? And so we want to find out for ourselves. Have we been searching for God or Jesus? And then we come and say, did we have questions? Did we ever ask God? Did we ever listen to see if God answered us? Why do we follow Jesus? And what difference has it made in our lives? These are some of the questions we need to ask and reflect on over the week.